73 days ago, we said goodbye to the 21-22 season. In another 2 days, we witnessed the birth of the 22-23 season. The Premier League is back, ladies and gentlemen, and it's only befitting that we give a baby shower to this precious baby that football is about to give us. My name is Adam. The show is Tetra Soccer, as always. Welcome to the first episode of your favorite podcast. It's a brand new season, and we are here to give you the very best of hot takes and the greatest dark boosts throughout the course of the season. I'm not here alone, of course not. I have my guys ready. So get ready for an exciting ride. Pardon me. Let me get some water. We'll be back after this timeout.
Yo, what's up?
Welcome back. Well, our guest is here. Oluwaseun, what's up? How are you doing?
Doing all right. Kilun Shole, how you doing?
I'm good, brother. It's a pleasure to be back, honestly. I've missed Premier League like as if something has happened to me, because I cannot bear myself watching some kind of football. That preseason was actually kind of boring, but of course. Some games are good, like you guys beat Chelsea 4-0. And speaking of Arsenal, Shewin is an Arsenal fan, so Shewin, please introduce yourself.
Okay, I'm Oluwaseun by name. I support Arsenal. What else? Yes.
Let me even start. Do you guys consider yourselves ready to challenge this season?
No, we are not. Actually, we are not ready to challenge because
we thought you're fine for me preseason.
Fine for me, actually, the thing is, what people don't understand about this Arsenal team presently is that this is the first good preseason Arsenal is having in 4 or 5 years.
Isn't that supposed to be like some science to come kind of thing?
True, it is supposed to be like that, but presently, you should get the skepticism of Arsenal fans. Why? This is our first good preseason in 4 or 5 years. Come on. Like,
my own for there, we say, I don't buy garbage for him. If you don't perform, you go fight.
I'm actually not bothered about this season. It's just that we've not gotten to the level of City and Liverpool.
I did not say challenge for the title. By challenge, let me be more specific next time. I'm asking
questions. If you say top challenge four, for the sure, top four, Arsenal challenge for the top four this season. That I'm very.
But let me offer.
I'm very well, Adam. What's up? Good.
I'm good.
Afternoon. Shane, what's up? Good afternoon.
I do all right. Kilushole, Zlatan, how you doing?
I do all right, my G.
It's good to be back. You can feel the excitement already. Follow me. Let's talk about your team before we enter fixtures. Do you think that Man U is ready to challenge this season?
When you say challenge, what challenge?
Okay. I know we have kind of
Man City and Liverpool. This is like poto. What do you mean?
So do you think Manchester City can fit into the others, or do you think they would actually go below the others? By the others, you talk of things
do
like
you see
Arsenal,
Man City?
Chelsea, maybe Tottenham. Yeah.
Okay. So
you know
okay, do you
City
say
Liverpool
do, are you
like the major contenders for the league?
Yes. Yeah.
So,
as for
other things like maybe the top four, top six. Yeah, go ahead.
We would break into the top four. I see United making the top four. I think top three, Steph. Top three, yes. I'm not putting it past them. I'm really excited for the new season. Of course, I'm not getting ahead of myself. I'm not going to come here and tell you that, oh, we are going to win this and that and that and that. But, you know, it's exciting. It's a new manager. We have seen what he wants us to play like in preseason. Even if the last two preseason games were poor due to different factors. But, you know, if you judge by what we saw on the tour in Australia, you know, he has a clear style in his head. You know, I'm excited. Top four, yes.
Let's still continue with the Arsenal train for now. You guys are kicking off the Premier League season.
Okay.
Arsenal against Crystal Palace.
Second season in a row.
Yeah, it's a good thing actually, because we're kind of getting used to you guys. So the thing is, now this Crystal Palace is always, I mean, you go back to last season, Crystal Palace are like excited for you guys. It's not even just last season, over the season kind of. You've seen you guys
not that they're excited. The problem is we have when Arsenal is facing Crystal Palace is the fact that once we go to Selhurst Park, like it's like it's another Arsenal team that turns up entirely. Here you get like the players are not even, how will I put it? If you check Palace at the Emirates, they've only won at the Emirates, I think, once in 4 or 5 years. But go over to Selhurst Park. You've not won in Selhurst Park, I think, in 6 or 7 years. Like the last time we won,
are you scared of that skepticism coming to light again, because you are going to the Selhurst Park again for the season open?
Yes, now that's why I have that is why I'm very, very skeptical. Why? Because the players I'm actually happy we have a very good improvement from the players we had last season when it comes to technical ability and physicality, and also being able to play in the manager's pattern, which is the 2-3-5 attacking formation and the 4-4-1-1 defensive phase, or the 4-4-2 low block, or the 4-4-2 mid block and all that. So basically now, Arteta has the first 11 that can implement his style of play, which I'm not actually bothered about. But my main squad depth, and going to Palace, we want to.
But you guys have had quite a number of players, if I've been honest. I mean, you've added Gabriel Jesus. You've added let me go. Of course, there's Alexander Jesenko. You guys raided Manchester City a little bit. That's two players from Manchester City. There's Fabio Vieira as well from Porto. If I'm not, I think Porto or Benfica, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, Porto. Yeah. The thing is, I'm actually very, very happy with the transfer window. Like for real, I'm very, very happy with the transfer window. Why? Because they actually knew what they wanted. They knew the players they wanted. They had their options in case one didn't go through. Example, Rafinha and Lisandro Martinez, which was...
Of course. You have to list Martinez that United, due to superior financial power, this life have money. You suffer.
Is that what this is about now? Are we trying to look right now?
No, this is not even about superior financial power. Arsenal said they were not spending above 30 because he was not coming to be a starter. I already said that before when we talked on the group.
So you are telling me that Lisandro Martinez could not have actually broken the duo of Ben White and Gabriel.
Tierney. He was coming as a left back for Tierney, not as a left center back. He was not coming as a left center back. He was coming as a left back that can play as an inverted center back, which is the same thing Zinchenko is coming to play, which he can actually, when in attack, he will join Partey.
If I'm being fair, I kind of think Zinchenko counts as an upgrade to Lisandro Martinez. But look, me and other United fans, I am just saying my own personal opinion before you guys chop off my head.
The club that can't register.
They actually have the same profile.
But let me relax. We are talking the Premier League right now. Calm down.
See, they have the same profile. But why are we really?
But one of them has Premier League experience already. Yeah, he has done it.
That's the only edge I feel Zinchenko has over Lisandro Martinez. Loki, looking at their playing style and also their player profile, they are basically similar. Lisandro can play as a DM. Zinchenko can play as a CM, or he can play as a number 8. Shake it. And he can also play left back. Zinchenko can play left back. He can play center back. Shake, you understand? So they basically have the multiple position capabilities. So it now depends on, okay, how do you want to utilize this?
Who wants to blend? Is the question nobody can answer right now.
To ETH, he felt, because he was not on... Lisandro Martinez was not on Manchester United's radar at the start of the transfer. Sure you get.
All
right. When you say, you sound like you were in the board with. No, the thing is,
hold on.
Let me finish.
Okay.
You know, ETH came from Ajax. Mm-hmm. So, of course, when ETH was coming to United, looking at the squad that he had seen that played against there, wasn't it Crystal Palace final game of the season? He basically already knew, okay, what players in this Ajax team do I want to take along? What players in this team do I feel like, okay, they need to come into this United team alongside with me? So he looked at Timber at first. Of course, we're in for Timber before Van Gaal spoke to Timber not to join. Then immediately we moved on to Martinez. The only tactic there was, United in this transfer window is smarter. Unlike previous transfer windows where we just go for players and we are ready to stomp up the cash. In this transfer window, United tend to stall, tend to see, okay, is there any tutor? Let's see how much the selling club is willing to get from this tutor. Okay, if this is how much they're willing to get, okay, you know what? Let's do this. Previous years.
All right. Let me just cut you right there, sorry. But it looks like we're already going on this transfer and all that. Let's just jump into the actual football for the season. Now I'm going to go around everybody. That is Richard, Pelumi, and Cheung. We are going into the broken down Arsenal's game right now. We have come at it from different angles. But now my question is, this is a season where, of course, we are all going to be playing FPL, and of course our listeners are also going to be playing FPL. Who would you recommend in that Arsenal team? Because honestly, I would not recommend a Crystal Palace player to anybody. Even Zaha, who is probably like their most prized asset, I would not exactly recommend him to anybody. So let's look into the Arsenal team. Based on the budget that the FPL gives us, because we've seen prices already this season, and let's be honest, those prices are not exactly smiling. So let's look at budget midfielders, budget attackers that we can actually get from this Arsenal team. But Sean, let me start with you.
Okay, if you are going for attackers, for forward line, I would suggest if you can get Gabriel or Eddie or Nketiah. But Nketiah is
most likely to be a bench warmer.
No,
why would why would I spend 6.5 million on a bench warmer?
No, the thing is, actually, Gabriel is the starter. That is not a doubt. But there are some situations where Arteta is planning on using a two-striker formation. So...
okay.
And Nketiah will definitely have his time to shine. For midfield, I'll suggest you go for Martin Odegaard.
I think Odegaard is about 6.5 million. Let me, if I can confirm his price quickly.
Odegaard or Martinelli.
Yeah.
Presently,
Odegaard is worth 6.5 million in FPL. You think the price is too much? For Bukayo Saka, he's worth 8 million. He's worth 8 million.
He's actually worth 8 million for prices. Come on. Last season, he was the one leading goals and assists under 20 plea. The whole of Europe, nobody else came close. The next person was Foden with 14. He had 18 good contributions. Saka had 18 good contribution. Come on.
Okay. All right. But Lumi, quickly, let's jump in. Do you have no defender? Let me even ask you that.
Yes, I can.
Oh, what's that? What do you say?
Would you recommend an Arsenal defender?
I heard you. Do they have a defense?
Wow.
Coming from someone that it is considered more than Arsenal last season. Please, bro.
Okay, so
take a sip of water.
All right, so Richard, welcome. Thank you for joining us. Let's have some Richard moments. So Richard, who are you recommending? What are you thinking about?
I've not spoken, Adam.
Oh, sorry. But let me go ahead.
Okay. Bounce aside. I would say Tierney from that defense. The only issue with Tierney now is I'm not sure if he would stay fit. Secondly, the good thing is that I feel like ability-wise with Tierney, there are They are basically on par. So, of course, Zinchenko can also come in and take Tierney's place. So, you know, I feel like there's no guarantees with Tierney. Now, as for their midfield, Odegaard and Martinelli, of course, like they come on the cheap. They are quite affordable. Saka is too expensive. Now, as for their forward line, I have Gabriel Jesus. I mean, that's like the only attacker they have that you can get. So that's it. That's
all right. Well, Richard, let's start from Saturday. Let's start this fixture that is. We're playing Fulham as our earlier kickoff. Then 3 PM kickoff, you have newcomers Bournemouth against Aston Villa, Leeds United against Wolverhampton Wanderers, Newcastle against Nottingham Forest, Nottingham Hotspur against Southampton, and then 5:30 PM in the evening on Saturday, we have Chelsea against Everton. It's looking interesting, but let's go with Liverpool quickly. How exactly do you think Liverpool would want to start off the season?
Thank you, Adam. First of all, it's good to be back, and I look forward to consistency this season. About Liverpool, we all know, okay, they improved their squad, and currently they won the Community Shield against the best team in England, and they are balling and everything.
Hi guys.
But I feel Fulham is going to cause an upset come Saturday. I don't know why. I know you guys know me as the underdog guy. Well, this thing has been in my head since Fulham won the championship. It has just been ringing. Fulham's going to be Liverpool. Fulham's going to be Liverpool.
Wait. Richard, I came here when you said Fulham was actually going to surprise us come Saturday, bro.
Yeah.
You know, when I don't go stay, say Liverpool to win at over 1.5. What is this?
Well, seriously, for real, Fulham's going to surprise Liverpool. I see Fulham coming on top 3-1. That's strange. Yeah. I don't know. I know it's going to come about. That's a bold statement.
I understand that it's Fulham's own Kevin Cottage. But Mo Salah anywhere on the that kind of guy. Right now, my captain band is on Mohamed Salah.
Mo Salah has always played with Sadio Mane and Firmino all seasons that he has played at Liverpool. So if you watch his game in the Community Shield, it was okay. Yeah, we all know he had bits of that spark, that excellence that he has, but we didn't see the confidence that was Mo Salah. Although, of course, he scored a converted penalty, which has always helped the FPL players. But I've not seen the gel yet in that Liverpool side. We watched them in preseason; they struggled a lot. That's why I thought I would say okay. A lot of substitutions and all. We struggled a lot. And with the 5 substitution rule now, I feel Mo Salah would not be all that excellent. Because Jurgen Klopp will have to depend on his center forward. Because he's an actual center forward, not a defensive forward. So, no offense to
him. What do you mean? Are you trying to take a jab at Firmino?
So you get what I'm saying now. So it's going to be difficult to leave everything in the hands of Salah, and we all know Luis Diaz is capable of putting that ball in the box 18. And who's going to be there? Salah is really in the box 18.
If I'm being honest, but okay. Let me just round up on it real quickly. Do you think Mo Salah is still worth that? Is still going to that prize FPL asset that we've always wanted to be like that guy?
Of course, Salah is going to be in the top 2 if he's not the top performer.
Do you agree with this decision? Do you think that Salah will still be that plus guy for this season?
Of course. I didn't have doubts, any iota of doubts, when I got Salah into my FPL team and I gave him the captain.
Do you know something? We don't really have a lot of premium assets.
He proved something interesting last season.
There are certain players that, regardless of their form, they will still show class. Salah,
yeah,
Harry Kane. Harry Kane can be bad for as long as God knows. But the thing is, once he starts firing, he's going to give it to you back to back. Like, you will see the consistency. Changes, like, know-how.
So let's even jump the key a little bit now, because if you're looking at other 3 p.m. pickups on Saturday, Bournemouth against Aston Villa is almost under the weather. I would say Aston Villa would win, but Bournemouth maybe wants to put that.
Aston Villa
win number one, and Bournemouth actually did some very, very impressive work in the championship. But fingers crossed, anyways. I mentioned, it's still an under the weather game, so. Let's put a lead on it for now.
Do you know something? The only thing Aston Villa can consider a very good game week one is taking out 3 points from Bournemouth, regardless of what anybody has to say. Because if Steven Gerrard actually wants to stake his claim, like, okay, this is my team, and this team, I see them pushing up the table, because you don't spend that kind of money and you come into the season and say, okay, we might get 1 point from Bournemouth. No.
They took off the captain band from their previous captain, Tyron Mings. It's now John
McGinn.
And John McGinn actually is a very, very fine player, honestly. I like the guy a lot. So other 3 PM people. Leeds against Wolves is not exactly a big game to talk about. It's not exactly
Leeds Wolves. No, the game is actually going to be lively. It's just that only one team will come to play. Say it.
But personally, I think if you're considering a differential option, somebody that is actually cheap and actually might actually maybe give a few interesting points.
In that Leeds team, I'll suggest you go for Sam Greenwood, their striker. Because I think he's going to be the starting line now, because Bamford still has his injury issues.
But let me, do you have any suggestions for that from that fixture itself, from the both teams?
I do not really fancy either of the two teams. I feel like when the team starts, the only player I fancied from Leeds was Rafinha, and he's no longer there. As for Wolves, I've never really fancied them, because they
they actually have some differential assets when makes sense, but it's just that last season they had a very, very bad season, so most of those players were just under the radar.
Personally, I just like Pedro Neto, so who knows? Richard, any suggestions before we move on? Richard, looks like we don't have Richard at the moment. Let's go on to other games. Newcastle against Nottingham Forest, nothing much. But now this one I actually want to talk about, because of their transfer deal is primarily actually not because of anything much, not of anything. The game is like, but at the same time, you look at their transfer deals and you just feel like we should say a few words to just commemorate this guy. Antonio Conte might actually be
They already said Tatiana cooking. Come on. Tatiana.
Honestly, I'm actually putting them for third place, if I'm being honest, because I already leave top two for
Let me tell you something.
And I'm actually putting others just behind.
See, what you guys I've seen people say Tatiana will challenge, Tatiana will do this, Tatiana will do that. Fine. Tatiana will challenge. But the thing is, do you think the players he bought are actually of the quality that can help his first team? Think about it.
Shane, yeah, are you giving an honest opinion, or you are giving a North London opinion?
No, I'm actually giving an honest opinion, to be real with you. Like,
okay,
see,
do you know
I understand that.
Antonio Conte won the league with Victor Moses.
He won the league. Look at what when he was at Chelsea.
His forward line is Harry Kane, Son Heung-min. He also has Richarlison. He has Lucas Moura and a host of others, lining up behind them, and it's
midfield. Yeah, Kulusevski is still in that team, so
that midfield. He has who else?
Bissouma is there.
He has Kulusevski that came half season and showed and outperformed.
It's a lot of names. I actually get your point.
Like where I'm coming from is everybody are saying okay, Tottenham are making good buys and all. Let me state an example. If Manchester United got the same set of players Tottenham Hotspur got, how would you rate your transfer window come the end of transfers? The same set of players that you got for your team. How would you rate that transfer?
To be fair, Manchester United is a way bigger club than Tottenham. So when we are buying, we can't buy those players.
That's the point. Do you now get where I'm coming from? Like,
Tottenham are trying to pull something I would consider. I would not exactly say upset because for time and time now, they've been in that mix of top four, trying to challenge.
I feel like these players are an upgrade on what they present, yes or no.
That's a question I want to put to you right now. So hold on, let me get this. In what we know of Tottenham, are these players an upgrade on what they presently or on what they owned as at the end of last season? Are these players the likes of Clement, Richarlison, Bissouma, Ivan Perisic? You are saying Ivan Perisic is not an upgrade on what they had last season. Is that what you're telling me?
Are you trying to tell me based on last season's performance, Bissouma is an upgrade to Oibier? Are you kidding?
It's not. Look at it.
Performance. Richarlison would provide more. No, now come on.
Ndombele, they got rid of Ndombele, and then they have Hojbjerg and Bissouma. Bissouma is one of the top proven defensive midfielders.
Bissouma and the Højbjerg, these guys are like the best when it comes to interceptions, tackling, when it comes to
Bissouma was part of the top 10.
These guys are one of the best names you find out in the English Premier League. Yes or no?
Come on now, come on, you guys, calm down. You guys are thinking maybe I'm talking like this, maybe because of the fact that Arsenal, Tottenham. No,
I am actually
looking at Conte and the way Conte plays. You all know Conte is a very rigid manager. Once he has his eyes fixed on his first team, you hardly break him. Yes or no?
Is what actually ends up breaking that first 11 now. Accepted. But now, let me put this to you. Take for instance, the left wing forward system that Conte plays, where he has this left midfielder that goes back and forth.
Adam.
Yeah.
Now, you're telling me last week. Follow me. Yeah.
I want to say something. I want to back up Sheung's point. Now, the issue is, when you look at Tottenham, their issue over the years has always been, should I say, a near success syndrome. Now, when you have a near success syndrome as a team, I feel like your additions, you know, should now be players that you know that have that mentality to break that shackle, you know, to break those shackles. Now, you look at Tottenham, you look at the players they've brought in. These players, I do not see them as proven winners. Now, Richarlison hasn't won.
Ivan Perisic? I might not get it right with the others.
Hold on, Adam. Richarlison hasn't won a spoon in all his time in England. Bissouma has not won a plate. He hasn't won anything. You look at Perisic. Yes.
Perisic won the title at Inter Milan.
As Bayern too.
He won the Champions League at Bayern. Perisic has a very impressive CV, no doubt about that. But there's usually this thing that they say that a tree cannot make a forest. A tree cannot make a forest. Meaning, Perisic alone, you know, I do not even see Perisic, you know. Now, if they were to bring in somebody with that kind of CV, I would have suggested they brought in somebody with leadership qualities, somebody who is ready to say, okay, you know what, boys, let's go, let's do this.
Tottenham has a lot of leaders.
He's not a leader. Opinion. Perisic is.
Tottenham has a lot of leaders, in my opinion.
What did you say?
Tottenham have a lot of leaders, in my opinion. If
yes, come down, yes, listen, those leaders. Now, when you look at those leaders, are they winners?
They have a captain that has won the World Cup, for crying out loud.
Yes, have, he won the World Cup. Richard, the World Cup. The World Cup is, I would call it a sprint. A sprint. The league is a marathon. The World Cup now, do you know, of course, it's usually the best countries that win the World Cup. I'm not going to come here and undermine what the World Cup and say maybe some lucky teams have won it. But no, no. But what the World Cup can do is, okay, you're a very good squad. Then you have a very good run of form. You win the World Cup. But for the league, the run of form you would need to win a league title is longer. I do, you see, Loris, Hugo Loris.
So if I'm getting you right now, what you are trying to point out is that the sustainability is what might affect Tottenham in the long run.
Now you are getting my point.
Yes, because in terms of
issues with the old of Japan, but the thing is, the players that he's getting in the long run, we all know Conte is a manager that stays for 4 or 5 years to build a project or something. Come on. At most, after the third year, Conte is gone. What now happens when Tottenham has a new coach and he has a new plan? And most of those players don't even fit the plan. Will you tell me if Umisong goes on injury now? If Umisong is injured now, Richarlison will replace those goals? Come on. No, that's the truth. Will Richarlison replace those goals?
Adam.
Like how?
Yeah, go ahead, believe
me. I think we shouldn't get too, you know, we shouldn't get ahead of ourselves by looking at maybe the years when Conte is leaving or not. Let's even look at Tottenham under Conte. Conte has the mentality. Yes, he does. But you look at the leaders in that team. Apart from Loris, who has won the World Cup, I feel like basically almost feels like that's the only thing Loris has won in his career.
You guys should not forget Tottenham forward line, aside Kulusevski and Richarlison, both of them are 30, both Son and Kane. Don't forget that.
Look at Kane. Kane is their leader. Kane is a leader in that team in terms of the attack. Kane is their leader. Kane was part of this same English squad that got to the Euros final last year and failed to win.
You can't say he was part of the unit. You can't blame the captain of the final that they lost to Liverpool.
Don't forget.
That one, in fact, I am still 14% not it is very day for that one.
He was also the captain when they lost the Carabao Cup final to City. Don't forget.
Adam. He was also
the assistant captain when they were challenging Leicester City for the title. And they couldn't beat Chelsea at Stamford Bridge to keep the title charge running. And they ended up finishing third.
Did you watch that match? That Chelsea.
Yes, I did.
You saw the tempers and the fights.
Still, let me tell you something. See,
that's what we call
Chelsea brought them, like Chelsea set the trap for them and they fell into it, like they fell with all their might.
You can't.
Nobody ever thought Leicester was going to win. One, two, with when the season was at the halfway stage, nobody even thought Arsenal was even going to catch up with Leicester and Tottenham.
I'll be happy
if Conte can actually make these Tottenham teams winners. Look, like, I'll actually be happy. Forget the old
but let's be honest. They actually need something. I want Tottenham to win something. But if I've been honest, it cannot, you know, let me even put this in our local language now. If you know pass FA Cup, even if they win,
Adam, too much to this club, not to actually.
Tottenham winning the FA Cup. Just let me quickly say this, then we move on to another club. Tottenham winning the FA Cup right now, is big for them. It is too big for them.
That is what I'm saying. These guys are tested for a trophy so badly that anything would suffice.
Yes.
That was what I'm saying. See, do you know, I felt they made a mistake when they were in the Carabao Cup final and they sacked Mourinho.
Let's leave their history alone. Chelsea against Everton, final game on Saturday evening, 5:30 p.m.
Chelsea straight win, forgetting the outfield. So
you're saying no matter what happens, because you see their new man, you see they're under this new ownership, they've made some kind of transfer deals that I will not lie. Kima Farrow, Kima Jal, if anybody, I would consider it shady. That's the word I would use, shady. It just doesn't make 100% sense to me. Ryan Sterling is a quality attacker that has won trophies with City, that has done it with Liverpool.
See, what you don't understand is Sterling has had that trait over the years. But the fact
so that, why would you bring somebody like that into the team? Yeah, my question.
Do you know Sterling is actually an upgrade to his forward line, regardless of what you might think?
I understand. But still. Let me direct this to Pelumi. Pelumi, an attack line, a squad that has Timo Werner, Christian Pulisic, Callum Hudson-Odoi, you now added Raheem Sterling, and you want me to believe we are worthy of challenging for something concrete in this season?
Adam,
let me hear from Pelumi on this.
Adam, that Chelsea team. You know, I look at their transfer dealings. Yes, firstly, I have to say, Sterling is an upgrade on whatever they have in that team right now. I don't want to disrespect, but
is Sterling the answer to their problem?
You know, the thing is, I would say no. You know why I would say no? Let me expand on that.
Okay, go ahead.
The issue is, Chelsea need a creator, a creative midfielder. Like, going into the transfer market, they knew they needed a creative midfielder. Sterling is not a creative midfielder. Sterling would not come and necessarily create chances for you. Shea gets. Now, they need a nine. They've not gotten a nine. Timo Werner is not the nine.
Was Lukaku not in?
No, see, what you don't understand about Chelsea's predicament is the fact that now Tuchel wants to actually change his style of play. If you notice throughout last season, he was mostly on
if that is what is going to happen, I would actually be quite impressed, honestly.
See, now, Tuchel wants to go to a 4-3-3. Okay, again. The same formation he used while at PSG and Borussia Dortmund. Now, he wants to go back to a 4-3-3. If you notice, when they started making their transfer dealings, they wanted to go for Rafinha on the right, Sterling on the left. If you were following their transfers before Barca came and actually bullied them out of all
Asaga is long.
Yes, bully them out of all their transfers. They also they were also in the market for Gabriel Jesus, but he already made up his mind to come to Arsenal.
I was mentioning the fact that Chelsea's defense, Chelsea's centre back options. Let me be more specific. Outside Koulibaly, outside Koulibaly, and outside Thiago Silva, it's almost non-existent. Let me put it down. You mentioned the likes of Trevor Chalobah. Okay, Malang Sarr is rumored to be on his way out of Chelsea at the moment. So
he's on his way to Monaco
and the likes. What exactly did Chelsea have to present when it comes to a center? Because this is a league season where there's going to be 30 games played. In the middle of all that, there's going to be cups and everything. Okay. You can almost not do without an injury when it comes to things like that. It's almost inevitable. But let me start. Shall we hold on, please? Let me start with Richard. What exactly do you think Chelsea should still look into the market? Because of course there is of Kukureya coming in, but that is a wing back, not exactly a centre back. What exactly do you think Chelsea should do regarding that?
When it comes to options, I don't see. Okay, we heard Thomas Tuchel talk about how he's not planning on letting his captain go. That's Pilicueta, and we all know that Pilicueta can feature in the right centre back position and simple. James and Alonso can play there a bit, play in the center back position, so they still have a kind of depth that allows them to tinker around a bit. But we all know there's nothing like playing players that are actually suited for that position, like they train for that position. So Chelsea is also in the market for Fofana, obviously Fofana of Leicester City. I mean, the way Leicester City has let a lot of players go is strange. I think something's up. I'm not sure how the club
wants. Yes, actually, the actual thing. Let me use that to take away the issue. But before we go into Leicester City's game, let's quickly round up. Let's come to the game itself. Chelsea against Everton. Richard, what is your prediction?
Chelsea is going to win that match. There's more team Lampard can do to stop that.
Chelsea would win, not because Chelsea are extraordinary, but because Everton is useless.
do you also believe that Chelsea would also take all 3 points?
I already told you from the start, Chelsea would win. Do you see the thing is, forget their off-field issues. Do Everton have the quality to actually stop Chelsea? No. I get the fact that last season they were playing on Angel Elin trying to avoid relegation. This season is different. Even though Tuchel said his team would not be ready come the first game week, that doesn't mean once he sets his team, they will go out there and play rubbish. No. Come on.
Just to move on away from. Leicester City against Brentford. Let me open the floor on Leicester City. The thing is, Leicester City actually have issues financially because we've known these guys to sell a lot. At least let me rephrase that. We've known these guys to sell players for high amounts and use it to actually bolster their squad one way or the other. But now they have issues because, for example, now at the moment, if Wesley Fofana stays as a Leicester City player, they cannot register him as a Leicester City player for the Premier League season. Because last season, they used the guise of he was an under-21 player, and Premier League allocates a set of under-21 slots to Premier League teams. But now, Wesley Fofana is 22, which means they can't use that again as an excuse. That's why,
for example... He was going to be registered as an homegrown player.
Let me talk.
They won't have an issue with that.
Adam.
Yeah,
they won't have an issue with that. That's the same thing we are using for Saliba.
Sorry. Let me hear from Balumi.
Adam,
yes,
what is wrong with Leicester? I mean, I feel like, no, when I'm asking this question, I am asking you if you have like a knowledge of whatever is wrong with your finances. Because when the news centered that they were selling Schmeichel, I was like, Schmeichel? No, I'm not expecting this.
I'm about to drive on that. This is, let's start with the last.
Adam, hold on, please. Adam.
Go ahead.
Okay. Now you look at James Maddison. James Maddison. We all thought Maddison is now like settled, and then next thing I'm hearing talks that Newcastle are looking to buy him. Now, of course, we know Newcastle are the nouveau riche. In case you do not understand French, that's the new rich. Now, you look at Newcastle now, they are looking to go for Maddison. Them going for Maddison is because they've gotten an encouragement from his camp. They've gotten an encouragement from Leicester that, okay, we will be open to do business as far as you stomp up the cash. Do you understand? Which is surprising, because Leicester are not a team that necessarily feel like selling. They only sell because, of course, the kind of monies that are usually thrown at them are too much to ignore.
Mm-hmm.
But Fofana is very, very, very shocking, because I know he missed the start of the season last season. Then when he came in, he was very solid. Then now I'm hearing they are looking to sell him. Like, wow, that's
no, right. The thing is, the problem is, based on what I followed on the David Einstein's Twitter feed, the thing is, they are looking to sell, but they are not pushed to sell both for Fofana and Maddison in the same window.
Let me give you a small insight based on what I know. And I'm not speaking based on just Fofana and Schmeichel or Maddison, whatnot. If you understand what I'm saying. So let me begin. It started from last summer, actually. Last summer, Leicester City made a few signings to bolster their squad. The likes of Patson Daka came in, and a few other players. Like, right now, I can't exactly pick the names, but Patson Daka and a lot of players like that came in. I think Ademola Lookman was also from last summer. Was a last summer signing as well from Leipzig.
On loan.
He has gone back to Leicester.
He was signed permanently. Let me bust your bubble. Ademola Lookman is now at Atalanta. He's taking his medical. I think today or tomorrow he should be announced by Atalanta.
From Leipzig.
Okay, so yeah, back to what I'm saying. The point is, Leicester City made a lot of signings like that. Ademola, Patson Daka. But the way Leicester City usually operates based on that one huge sale. You go back to 2 seasons ago when it was Maguire. The season before that, there was a big name that they had to sell. There was a big name. After their Premier League season where they won the league, there was Mahrez. Made some money from all those sales. Then the season after, there was like, but the point is now, from last summer, they were able to make that headline sale where they actually made so much money. That's number one. Number two, their wage bill increased, I think, almost about by 30% or 20-something percent, toward 30%, without them making a huge chunk of money because they added players to that squad. That's number two. Leicester City, over the course of the season, I'm not sure if it's done yet or it's progress, but Leicester City built a new training complex, which also cost them money. So the point is, they have spent money, but they don't exactly make money.
Okay, thank you for explaining.
Some financial quagmire. That is why, and you look, sorry, let me finish before you comment. You look at the thing is, most of their players right now, I think about 8 or 9 of them, are in their final year of their contract. Are in their final years. This is their final year. 2023 is the final year of their contract. So Leicester City have to find a way to either let them go, or at least Leicester City would not want to actually let them go, except the prices are actually quite logical. We know these guys will actually want to make money from their sales. Like, for example, now Kasper Schmeichel is gone, and guess how much he was sold for? A million euros, which is technically nothing. The likes of Jamie Vardy is on his final, but of course, if they let Vardy go, who is going to touch that? No offense, but are you trying to tell me you are going to count on Kelechi and Patson Daka for a whole season? Although, yeah, you look at it from the Vardy angle, like, Vardy is an injury player. Vardy is the injury guy that goes 6-8 weeks now, and when he comes back, he gives maybe 3 or 4 appearances before he goes back in. So Leicester City have to figure a way out to actually balance their books before they make any signing. That is why you will not hear, that's why they barely made anything. Speaking of their last summer signing, Boubacar Soumaré also came into that team. He barely played anything.
He has left. Soumaré has left.
So you look at things like that. They have to find a way. That is why they are trying to. And because, no offense, this is where I would say Newcastle might not exactly be the wisest businessmen right now in the Premier League. James Maddison, right now, these guys are desperate to sell. It's almost obvious to any analyst in the football space. And you are stumping up the cash. That is why let's say I've seen that okay, these guys want to spend the money. Let us help them collect it. That's why they are telling you that let 50 me tell million you is not enough to put in Maddison.
Adam.
So let me start with you.
Politics. There are some hidden politics in football that we'll never know. Forget. We shout that Barca are broke, but yeah, they are the leading spenders in this summer's transfer window. Yes or no?
True.
There are some hidden politics we'll never know in football. Just forget about the fact that they are saying, then they talk now. All these guys, they talk. They know where they meet. Have you think say they don't submit themselves? Then they follow themselves.
You're making it sound like they have some pop.
Yes, now they get club now. Why do they do like this? Then you think say Premier League club owners know they get meeting with each other. Why do they do like this? Forget all these ones. Back and no get money. Back and no get money. Now drop 50 for Lewandowski. Bros. You now drop 74 for Rafinha. Bros. You now drop 45 for Koundé. Why they do like this?
Why do you think
clubs were actually willing to sell to you? Like, they don't even give you stress. They don't give you stress. Who? You just say you want this player. They want to keep the player. Why do they do like this?
Let's go back to the game.
Newcastle wants to stomp the cash. See, if you don't follow yourself, talk to Alpha. No, do like this. Bring 60 for Maddison. No, give you. May not be like, say, we do any shady business. They go down. So you go see, say, when Newcastle won't come back, another player.
Follow me.
If you come by, I'm like, maybe the player wants 50 million. Yeah. If you come by, I'm like, 25 for Maddison. I want.
Let's start the game with Brentford on Saturday. Brentford have actually had
Adam, firstly, I just to quickly divert. This diversion will not take up to 1 minute. You said Newcastle may not exactly be the wisest team. So, you know, because they want to stomp up that much cash for what you call it, blah, blah, blah. The thing is, I feel like for Newcastle, finances is not your problem. So they can spend as much as they want to spend. So, yes, that's that. So, I don't feel they are not unwise because they even need a player in the mode of Maddison if that team wants to progress, you know, to make him like a conference league. So away from that,
I think we just think our breakfast is top 10 for now.
Yes. Then Leicester City versus Brentford. That game is I honestly cannot put a finger on that game and say this is how it's going to go. But I feel like that game will be open. There will be goals. You know, whoever wants it more will get it.
Let me talk to Richard.
I'm an FPL manager going to the new season. Would you advise me to buy a Leicester City player or a Brentford player?
If you are playing the FPL for only game week one, I feel between those teams, you probably pick a Brentford player because Leicester City don't know what they are doing. That's just no. From a team that won the league a couple some years back, they've gone from
that's 6 years sports, already. We are saying it like I think they won the recent ago.
From third to fourth to fifth to sixth, and then to 11th or 12th, and then they let a keeper like Kasper Schmeichel a proven keeper, one of the top keepers of the Premier League, to just leave for such meager amounts. They have a centre forward who's 35 who goes on injury vacations.
No, they have passed in that now. Come on.
No, hold on. They have
a striker.
They have a 35-year-old centre forward that goes on injury vacations almost as much as Ousmane Dembele.
Plenty
disrespect to Dembele, and I support it.
No, seriously. And then they have a back line where majority of their defenders just want to play football. They don't care whether they win or not. They have players like Johnny Evans. They have Vestergaard. Vestergaard, who believes he's a Viking on the pitch and prefers to fight rather than actually.
Let's have some audience reach out.
Then they have Soyuncu of recent.
Soyuncu.
I'm not Turkish. He was stopped for a while, and then he fell along the way with injury. And then they have Maddison and Tielemans in midfield trying to leave the club. So everything about the Leicester is gone wrong. So
all right, gentlemen, let's talk about the two Manchester clubs. Let's talk about the two Manchester clubs. The biggest news in England right now. So
That is the biggest. Don't disrespect us.
I'm sorry for the disrespect. Okay, Mister. Are you pleased with me now?
Now you can go on.
Good. Let's talk about Pelumi's, in quotes, Pelumi's biggest team in England.
No. You don't say in quotes. You don't say Pelumi's biggest team. It is the biggest team in the history of English football. Don't
delay that on words. My point is, let's talk about Brighton against Manchester United. Let's forget all this and just Manchester United against Brighton. First game of the season is at Old Trafford. Let me this. What is true going on with Cristiano Ronaldo? Let me talk to the Man U boys. But let me kick me off, please.
What is going on with Cristiano Ronaldo is a disloyal folk and is looking to leave. And personally, I support that we sell him. I don't know, but the only issue now is he hasn't found any suitor. He's looking to leave. Nobody's looking to buy him. They say he's looking to go to the top teams. The top teams are not looking to him. I don't understand. So that's it. That's Ronaldo.
Next time you want Adam.
Yeah.
Next time you want to ask a question about Manchester United that relates to Cristiano Ronaldo, don't ask Pelumi.
I would note that in consequent episodes.
You don't ask a Percy fanboy.
I hope we don't have to discuss for the episodes. I hope he leaves. I hope we don't.
Let me tell you. So this could be Cristiano Ronaldo saga.
Go ahead.
The topic of is a disloyal this, is a disloyal that. Come on, for Christ's
sake. Hold on. Tell me, this Cristiano Ronaldo issue is something that could have been handled much more quietly. But we know agents, super agents like George Mendes and late Mino Raiola, they don't like to do anything quietly. At the end of last season, there was already rumors and everything that Cristiano was going to leave. And he came out and said, no, I'm not going to leave this club. Like, I was part of people that got them to this Europa. So
into this mud. I'm part of those who dragged them into this mud.
Actually,
he dragged you guys into the mud, and
let me finish. So he said we're going to get out of this together, we're going to play football together. Mm-hmm. And then he expected, when he got Ten Hag, Ten Hag even said he was on first place to call the coach and welcome him, and they talked about how things were going to move forward and stuff. But then the club, as usual, decided to delay with their transfers, and the whole debacle happened. And this man came out,
Richard.
Hold on. Tell me,
let's grab this one quickly. Let's talk about the actual match now. So, just to round up quickly.
The one that brought up the Ronaldo topic. See,
we have to finish the
topic. Is very popular. Adam,
you are the host here. Whatever you talk about is what we should talk about. We are leaving Cristiano Ronaldo. You said we should talk about the actual match. Let's move to the actual match. There's no time to
Let's talk about the match. Let's Brighton beat. Do you think that something like that will happen again, or do you think you guys?
It cannot. It cannot. See, it can,
if they don't get their act right, they are going to get
that Sunday. Then go collect.
Get your Ultra Food or anything. Beg. See, my own issue is. If
she'll give me a scoreline for Sunday.
If I should give you a scoreline, the scoreline is if United get their acts right, to United can score 3-4 goals, but knowing Brighton to be very compact in defending and all that. If it is a Manchester United game, I see United scoring 2 goals. Possibly Brighton will score 1. Or United
score. So Man U would win under
if they take that chances.
So you're telling me that under normal circumstances, Man U would win.
Because the way,
is that
the
what
way
you're saying?
ETH wants to play, the way ETH wants to play, there is a counter attacking pattern in between that will bring out Brighton's ass.
Okay, fine. Okay, follow me.
Yes,
United against Brighton. What is your scoreline prediction?
Scoreline 3-1 in favor of the biggest team in England, Manchester United.
Okay. Richard, let's finish up with you. Do you recommend any United player as an FPL asset this season?
Besides David De Gea. I don't think so. All the other players are just going to be on and off.
I personally have an opinion that says that Jadon Sancho would actually play well this season. But
No. I feel they will all play well. They will all play well. We are going to win the league this season. Don't quote me on this.
Ladies and gentlemen,
thank God
you are on the live because everybody heard this right. Everybody heard this.
I heard it.
That was not my point.
That was a tongue-in-cheek now. That was a tongue-in-cheek comment.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Manchester United fan, you should know that. Okay, so what I'm saying is this. All the players are going to perform, but it's consistency we should be worried about.
Then, Richard.
Yeah?
I want to quickly state something. Just chip into your point. Now, the issue is, Adam was talking about, I think Adam mentioned Sancho. Someone mentioned Sancho. Now, the issue with Sancho is, Sancho is a box office player. Sancho is a player that would dribble. Sancho has a lot of flair. But all this flair doesn't matter in the FPL world. The FPL world matters. It only counts your goals and your assists.
Exactly.
Sancho is the kind of player to give a ball to Bruno.
So follow me. So who is your consistent? Who is your FPL player in United? Let me ask that question.
Presently, I do not even have a...
Okay.
I go for Bruno.
On that note, let's finalize with the champions of the land. Relax. They lost the community last Sunday. Accept it.
As always.
But now, let's come back to this season. They've made some quite interesting moves in the market actually, with the exits of the likes of Raheem Sterling and Gabriel Jesus in the same transfer window. Although you can say as replacement, they brought in new proper number nine.
Of course, they brought the best young nine in the world presently.
Speaking of Erling Haaland, and of course they brought back their boy from loan who they assigned in January. Speaking of Julian Alvarez, so that's kind of where they are on the transfer table. Of course,
You know, a lot of people look at Haaland and Alvarez. A lot of people feel like Haaland will just keep starting and Alvarez has to just make do with what Gabriel Jesus was then. I mean, just make do with the bench whenever he gets appearances. But I feel like a lot of people underrate Alvarez. Alvarez was the highest scoring Argentine in the whole of the world last season. So, you know, of course, that's because Messi, the king of football, was, you know, taking a break, took a vacation. But...
He took a vacation.
Let me start with Balumi on this one. First of all, the issues that I have noted in Manchester City. Number one, Ruben Dias is their captain with the exit of Fernandinho. Ruben Dias takes the captain band ahead of Kevin De Bruyne. Is that a good... Personally, I feel like it's a bad move, but let me hear from you.
For me, I feel like I would not have given Ruben Dias captain armband. Yes, Dias is good. Yes, Dias has leadership qualities. But if you look at in terms of Manchester City, the squad, the players, their standout performer any day, any time is Kevin De Bruyne. Now you bring out Kevin De Bruyne. Kevin De Bruyne is also a leader. Kevin De Bruyne is the kind of person to lead the team with his own performance. Like, you know, as far as performing good, every other person jumps on it. Ruben Dias. I do not really see, like, honestly.
All right, let me just say something about that.
The thing is this, we all know Pep Guardiola, he doesn't like the spotlight taken away from him. You can go and verify.
So you're saying he doesn't like when the
star player of the team, the top performer of the team, is the captain of the team. It happens. Messi was never the captain of Barcelona. I know you say Puyol and others were old, but he could have made it happen. When Yatri came to Man City, when company was there, Yatri was not the star captain. He wasn't their star captain. They are standout players. KDB was the captain for I think a few matches, and then KDB, I think that was the period KDB had, was it five?
If I'm not mistaken, the hierarchy of captains right now in Manchester City should be Gundogan, Ruben Dias, and Kevin De Bruyne as
Adam, quickly state this. Let me quickly drop this update that I just got.
Okay.
I'm not really sure of the legitimacy, but I'm just saying that United and Salzburg have reached an agreement for Benjamin Sesko. Yeah, 30 million euros.
That would be very good. I would rise
into 45 million euros.
We'll have official by next week. So let's round up quickly. Richard, what is your scoreline prediction for Man City against West Ham?
Man City West Ham. Oh, I did not even know that was a fixture. I thought it was going to be Man City against all of the small boys, but then actually it's actually going to be tough for Man City. But
remember last season, at the end of last season, when Manchester were charging for the league, this outside actually kind of put small sand inside their gallery at the end of the season.
No. West Ham did not put anything in their gallery. Mahrez put everything himself. Mahrez
was the bad chip.
So that's even going to be a problem for Man City this season. Having Mahrez and Grealish. Oh my God, what is that?
You see, that Grealish is the old Tetra Soccer episode. I don't want to start right now. So let's just move away from it.
Richard. Let's not discuss the most expensive English flop right now. Let's talk about proper players.
This season, mention three names you think that you want to buy. Between City and West Ham, mention three names you would like to buy.
Okay. Afua, which you talk?
I said... Between Manchester City and West Ham, give me three names for your FPL team.
William Alvarez, Jared Bowen, and Ruben Dias. Let's go.
And on that note, ladies and gentlemen, we will see you next week. This was actually quite fun.
Calm down. Not the rush. This is Manchester United season. Note it. Thank you. Thank you so much.
So come ahead of
we are humbly signing out. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Yeah. I really love this.
GGM.
Thank you very much. And good luck with your FPL, actually. I think we should create one.
I don't already set my team.